Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Chris Taylor with me once again. He's the president and CEO of Great Bear Resources. And besides the fact that Chris is a nice guy, he's got a company. He is the president of Great Bear Resources, which is on to one of the most exciting new discoveries, I think, that I've been following. And certainly one of the most exciting ones that I've discovered over the last few years. So it's really a pleasure having him. Thanks for joining me again, Chris.
Very nice to talk to you again, Jay.
Yeah, so you've talked a lot about the geological similarities between the Great Red Lake Gold Mine. It was a company maker for Goldcorp. It's in the same backyard as you are, your Dixie project, where you're having so much success. But your work continues, and I know in working with geologists over the years, you keep learning new things as you keep exploring and discovering. Do you still see it that way? Do you still see your project geologically akin to that Great Red Lake mine?
Yeah, in many ways, we continue to develop a story that's, in some ways, I would say, even better. And I know that's a very sort of promotional-sounding statement, so I'm going to have to qualify that right away. But if you looked at some of our recent news flow, I know you have, but maybe some of your listeners haven't, but we recently put out some results that were quite shallow gold intercepts, and one of the highlight numbers was about over 7 meters of an ounce per ton gold. And
yeah.
That's within... basically a vein swarm or a vein system that's over 140 meters wide. And I have to do a little bit of mental math, but that would something be on the order of about 400 feet wide of, approximate true width of a vein system.
Sure.
Multiple high-grade veins in it. It's very exciting. And the difference is that's all very shallow gold mineralization, whereas many of the mines around us are mining up to, a mile depth or more.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think when Goldcorp made their real high-grade discovery there, it was at quite considerable depth, and they've been mining at depth ever since then, I think.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And, one of the things that does is sort of add to the operational cost. So I think they're at a point in their mining cycle right now, and keeping in mind that this is probably, they had probably the most profitable gold mine in the world for the better part of a decade. And, of course, they would tell everybody that, right? So, but right now, they're mining at such great depths. I mean, effectively, what they need in that area is another source of high-grade material. And fortunately for Great Bear, with the work that we've been doing, that's definitely what we're finding.
Huh. I wonder if you've heard from those folks at Goldcorp.
I can neither confirm
you can
or
either
deny any such conversations.
I understand. But I would really love to have seen your itinerary at the PDAC this last PDAC. I would imagine that you were pretty busy, Chris.
It was a very busy conference. I mean, I departing from geological similarities and other sort of criteria, it's not often that a company makes a gold discovery like Great Bear has done. And, that's really something I think that the investment audience, sometimes it takes them a little while to key into that fact. And sometimes even for the larger mining interests in the world, it takes them a while to key into that fact. But we had a very busy PDAC conference in Toronto, a busy BMO conference prior to that. And I can just tell you flat out, I've been on the road talking to all kinds of people, for probably 3 weeks out of every month these days. So it's nice to get the word out about what we have and show people that sort of a shallow, high-grade gold discovery beside the highway is obviously the sort of thing that garners a lot of attention.
Yeah, I guess so. And I understand you're just back from London and you're heading downtown Vancouver as we're speaking to you now. So I want to ask you, Chris, the swarms of vein swarms that you talked about in that most recent press release where you mentioned 140 meters or roughly 400 feet wide. So that 7.5 meter intersection came between there. Obviously, if people want to, they can look at the intercept and get a sense of what this means overall. What sort of an average grade over that width? Might there, because there'd be a lot of blanks in between there, probably.
Usually when we provide an interval to the market, we have to think about it like much like, for instance, when Goldcorp is mining in that area, a lot of the mining that they're doing right now, and we know this from having reviewed their public technical data at length. Obviously, it's something that we're interested in, but many of the zones that they mine are 30 centimeters wide. That's 0.3 meters up to, you know, half a meter, maybe a meter, meter and a half. And what they'll do is they'll try to hit material in there that's 10 or 15 grams, and then they have to mine a minimum width of about 2 meters because that's about the width of a scoop bucket on the underground equipment. So you can't really mine any narrower than that. So effectively, what we're hitting, like some of those intervals that we're generating, 7 meters, I mean, within that it'll vary in grade from, you know, several grams to hundreds of grams, right? But we tend to provide intervals that make sense in terms of reasonable mining widths. And when we see grade like in that last interval, you'd be looking at an individual vein that's meters wide and flanking veins, like I mentioned, vein swarm, and you did as well. I mean, that's other veins that come in parallel to that. And effectively, if you looked at a mineable width of good consistent grade, you'd end up with something like that 7 meter interval that we've reported.
Wow. It's really exciting. I know, Chris, one of the things that always impressed me and one of the reasons I picked up on your story so early was the fact that you were so consistently hitting every drill hole, almost every drill hole went down and hit good grades. Most often they were economic grades. Well, we don't know economics yet, but generally speaking, they were considered to be economic or something much better than economic in many cases. But I noticed that you put out a statement here that 26 of 42 drill holes, that's 62% of the holes drilled along 240 meters of strike on the hinge zone, have scored better than 15 grams per ton. That's amazing.
It's phenomenal. And the consistency, like when we drill across that zone. And it's one of the things I think that I probably should emphasize is we're not drilling right down the throat of these things.
Yes,
we're not
that's
trying
very
to
important.
Inflate the width. Yeah, the way that we drill is designed to minimize the intercept width. So we're drilling as close to directly across it as we possibly can to give the narrowest widths possible because that's the most useful information for future modeling and resource construction. So, yeah, that's exactly it. What we're seeing here is very comparable widths or superior widths and, you know, grades to, again, the only comparables that you can point to in this district are really mines. They are mine. So that's really kind of what sets this apart is you're able to generate these, you know, stuff like you mentioned when we're hitting sort of, you know, 60% of the intervals are over half an ounce. I mean, it's phenomenal. And the drill hit rate means that when we go into that sort of vein system of the hinge zone discovery and we drill across it, we know we're going to hit the zone within about 10 or 15 meters of where we have it modeled to be in just about every hole that we put in. We can't tell you before we drill it how thick it'll be or the grade or how many zones, how many veins there'll be, but you can hit it consistently, and all the information that we've published so far shows that incredible consistency, and I think that's going to be a very important driver for this project going forward is that it should add up the mineralized volume in a very rapid order because of that exceptional consistency.
How much more drilling are you going to do, Chris, before you start thinking about putting together a resource number? I think you don't want to do it too soon, but you I think you've got something along the hinge zone, a 240 meter strike length, I think we said. And how much do you know in terms of the structure? How long or what is the strike length of the target structure?
Well, that's a great question. So in terms of, to answer your first one, in terms of resource production, that'll be something once we figure out the approximate size of the system. And keep in mind, it keeps growing in strike length and size down dip as we keep drilling it, right? So the bigger it grows, obviously, we want to make a representative publication of a resource. So, for instance, and these are just, you know, completely, you know, just numbers that I'm pulling out, but say if a company felt they had multiple millions of ounces on their hands and they produced a resource of, you know, less than a million ounces, they're probably not doing their shareholders any kind of service, right? So in our case, we don't yet know how big it is. But the drilling that we've done so far, to address your second question, is on the Dixie Limb, area, which was the original zone on the project. There's very dense drilling across about 600 meters so far, of which all of those holes hit gold mineralization, and step-out drilling along that target of about 1.6 kilometers, so about 2.3 kilometers strike length that we've actually already defined along there as showing mineralization. And then add to that this hinge zone, so the Dixie Lim, the original one, add the hinge zone to that. We recently did step-out drilling of another 150 meters and then another 400 meters along strike along the hinge to give it a potential strike length of 500 or 600 meters. So if you thought about it, we'd be pushing 3 kilometers of mineralized strike length, even at this early stage, and that's only we're only about 8 months into drilling the hinge zone discovery. So it looks like it has very, very attractive size potential.
Goodness, and of course, you're not drilling to any great depth so far. It's just these are really shallow, relatively shallow holes. So, really exciting. I have to ask you, you've got a second drill rig on the property now. What is the purpose of that drill rig? And it seems to me that one of the press releases you put out recently, there were a lot of assays there that weren't quite as exciting. Most of them, with one exception, you know, were sort of low grade, and seemed to me like a lot of speculative investors might have been saying, oh man, it's all over, I'm getting out of here. They left, the share price went down, and my thinking is that probably the serious investors are now starting to look at this thing, you know, the professionals. I have to think they are.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That second drill rig, initially, it was sort of dual purpose for us. So the first one was to test new ideas that we had in different areas, and some of those panned out very nicely, like the potential extensions in the hinge area of many hundreds of meters. Other ones, they hit mineralized veining, but, you know, when you go out into a new area, especially in Red Lake, your chance of hitting gold outside of the known zones is very, very low, in the low single-digit percentages. What we saw with all these, they're very aggressive and widespread step-outs, is we keep hitting gold mineralization in different contexts, different geological units, different veins. So they aren't the sort of headline numbers once you're into a high-grade zone that you already know about, but they show that potential size. And exactly what you said is happening. I'm finding the sort of institutional investor response based on what we're doing right now has been very positive. But going forward, there'll be that second drill rig. It'll be helping define the mineralization within the known zones very aggressively. So you'll see a very large number of drill holes go into the market over the course of 2019.
So you have, can you talk to us within the last minute and a half left here? How much drilling do you plan to do this year yet? And are you fully financed for that?
That's correct. We've announced that we're in the middle of a 30,000-meter drill program, of which there's probably about 13,000 meters remaining in that drill program. That had a budget of about $5 to $6 million. But the company collectively, if you considered our cash on hand, which is about $13 or $14 million, and then we had additionally another several million dollars of in-the-money warrants to bring us up over about $20 million fully diluted on a cash basis, that effectively means that we could drill a lot more than we've already announced. So over the course of the year, there'll likely be announcements of an extension off that drill program. Obviously, once we plan it, we'll be publishing more information in our news releases about that. But I would expect to see a great deal more drilling coming out of Great Bear, certainly to the tune of many, many additional drill holes this year.
And pretty much on an ongoing basis, I guess, weekly or a couple of times a month at least, something like that.
Very likely. I mean, in our case, you drill all year round, so there's no pause in the drilling. It's a constant series of results.
Yeah. So we'll be expecting these results coming out on a regular basis, which also is very exciting. Chris, thank you so much for being with us. It's really great. A great story. Always a pleasure to have such an exciting story, and it doesn't happen all that often. So thank you so much for being with us.